When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, one half of Black Mary Debt Free, the lesser half, as I like to say. And man, I'm super excited today because we have a very special guest, a gentleman that I've got to know on social media, and his story is amazing, man. And we're really gonna kind of try to pick his brain to see exactly how he got to where he's at today. He is a financial coach, and he does so many other things, man. So welcome, Steven Stack, to the Black Married and Debt Free podcast. How you doing, Steven?
Man, I'm doing well. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. Can't complain. You know, just kind of shaking off the cobwebs for the day, you know, getting started. But I know out there with you, your day's almost pretty much done, right?
Right. We're on the East Coast. Right. You know what I mean? So we're rolling. Nah, it's been a good day, man. Truly no complaints.
That's good. Well, Steven, man, what we like to do with our guests is we kind of like to take it back, right? And go back to the genesis of you, maybe somewhat about, you know, your upbringing, and really dig into what your history is in the area of finance. How were you raised? How did the money conversations go in the house? Different things like that. So if you could take us back, man, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah. So I'll start with this. Definitely grew up in a above average financially aware household. So for those that would be aware, like my dad back in the day, he would teach like finance classes for something called Crown Financial, which was like Financial Peace University before that. So, you know, he would do things like that, just trying to help people with money. So we would talk about it, but the depths of it would be more around, hey, make sure you're generous, that you're a giver, and make sure you live within your means, that you don't spend more than what you make, and save for a rainy day, or have a rainy day fund, which was like, that's old school for emergency funds. So right. Those are some of the building blocks for me.
Man, that's amazing. And it's great that you had that foundation. You know, everyone's, you know, foundation is different. Some people are the first generation to learn just those key things, but it's really cool that, you know, your parents instilled that. So Steven, now can you tell us, you know, somewhat about like where you were raised, brothers and sisters, different things like that. Cause I know you shared some of that with me on a phone call we had a few months ago.
Yeah. So I'm actually from the South. I'm from South Carolina. Grew up, got two siblings, got a brother and a sister, and, you know, really, really humble beginnings, of just how we came up, really just salt of the earth, love people. I mean, even how people will relate with me today, very engaging, enjoy just being around people and just meeting folks where they're at. So that's some of that kind of upbringing.
Now, Steven, the thing I really love about you, man, is you're extremely humble, right? You have the license to floss, man, with some of your accomplishments, but you're not braggadocious or anything like that. But can you get into some of your accomplishments just so our listeners know you're verified, man?
Okay. All right. So first off, I'm 100% debt free. That includes even my home that I'm sitting in as we're talking. So literally, I do not owe anybody anything or another way I often like to put it is I could get a job at Mickey D's and cover all expenses with money to spare.
Wow.
So that's one part right there. And then the other part, well, I'll go quickly with this, is been a millionaire since I was 31, and I'm no longer 31. So, yeah.
Yeah, that part, right? Well, right. Even more, can you get into some of how you got to this place? Because what I found very interesting is that you were kind of that go-to person in your family for financial literacy. And you know, a lot of people wanted to glean off of what you did. So for our listeners, can you break down how you got to the point where you're 100% debt-free? How you got to the point where you're a millionaire by 31? Because I think that's really what people are excited about hearing and maybe implementing some of that into their situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the obviously the building blocks were the things that I talked about as far as living within your means, having money for a rainy day or, again, an emergency fund. And the biggest thing, and especially, you know, I'll see it in minority communities, African-American community, people of color, so on and so forth, is having to get out of this idea that a person can save their way to wealth. Facts. It is impossible. Like, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. And I remember, for me, it was, you know, late teens / really, really early 20s, where I came to the realization, man, I will never get where I'm trying to go if it's just saving money. Mm. So I'm going to have to invest. And the good news, so for the people that are listening, that hey, where do I go from here, is you absolutely are going to have to invest. The good news is it's not really as difficult as people make it out to be. And I would also argue that the riskiest thing that you can do is to not invest.
Mm.
And if you think I'm being crazy, I promise I ain't got nothing to sell y'all. I'm just telling you, man, I'm gonna be good regardless.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just telling you, just from an inflation standpoint, which just means the buying power of your money, it decreases over time. So earlier I talked about, you know, I could work at Mickey D's and cover my expenses. So for people who are old enough, you may remember, hey, you could get two Big Macs for $2.
Yeah.
They even had a catchy name. It was just called the 2 for $2.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, you could get two Big Macs for $2 coming up back in the day. Now, I promise you, if you Google it right now, if you look it up, it's like $4 for one. So there was a – right. So there was a time where you could get four of them for $4. Now you can only get one. And you know, that's one example, but you can look at, you know, the cost of milk, movie theater tickets, you know, like, really whatever it is in life, our buying power, that's what inflation is it shrinking it down. So if you're putting money under the mattress or putting it in a savings account that's giving you a fraction of a percent, you are 100% losing money. You are doing the most risky thing imaginable with your money by not investing. Now, technically, it's better, you know, savings better than blowing it or having high interest, you know, credit card debt. But aside from stuff like that, it's really risky.
Man, those are great points, Stephen. And for our listeners, just to go back and highlight, the first thing he talked about was, you know, being debt free, because what that does is that allows you more ability to invest. Right. So the second piece is investing. I think what a lot of people, it's hard to wrap their mind around, Stephen, is that, and it was even for me when I went early on, is that you're going to need a million plus to be able to take you from retirement to end of life. Like, it's just a fact. And if you think about it, you look at your bank accounts now, you don't have to tell me what you got in there, everybody, but think about your bank accounts now. Think about how close or how far away you are from something like that. And like Steven said, there's no way to save that amount of money. You have to put it somewhere that can grow with you, that can grow for you, excuse me. And then you have to do that just to hedge against inflation. So, that's some good stuff right there, Steven. So the thing that we get a lot of pushback on is when we say things like that is, well, where do I go? Where can I put my money to get, 8% return or, 10% return? Well, I don't see those type of returns, but what can I do? Can you break that down for us? Maybe someone who's like, well, what do I do? Where do I put my money?
Yeah. So honestly, the simplest, easiest way, if you're just like, hey, I just want to invest, I don't know where to start, is I would recommend starting with the stock market, just because you don't have as much the barrier for entry. So in other words, what I mean is the amount of money you need to start is extremely low. You don't have to be crazy smart or creative to get in. You can literally buy stuff like the whole market. Like you can buy like index funds that just cover the entire market. You don't have to do any research into any individual companies. You don't have to put up a certain amount of money for real estate or acquiring businesses or have all these connections for some of the other stuff that I'm involved in, like private equity and, things like that. That's where I would say to start. That's really simple, that can get you in. And you even get a little passive income with it too, in the form of dividends. Yeah. Because many of the companies actually pay a portion of their profits to their shareholders. So that's really where I would start.
Got you. Now, Steven, can you share with us your thoughts on the importance of investing early? And you said that you were a millionaire by 31. So can you kind of, for our listeners, polarize the importance of getting started early, and could you go into some of that?
Absolutely. So Albert Einstein said the eighth wonder of the world is compound interest. Mm. So you want to start early and you want to invest often. Mm. with your investing. I mean, for me, just to kind of give you guys a feel on the timing, I really started where I had sizable amounts of money during the Great Recession. Mm. So like 08, 09, I had watched some movie, which I don't know if y'all would know it. You can look it up. It's called Inside Man. Denzel Washington's in the movie. And there's like this throwaway line in the movie where a guy's given a quote and he says, when there's blood in the streets, buy property. Mm. And so that really stuck with me, of this idea of, okay, now I'm about to drop a bar on you, okay? So
yes, sir.
In bull markets, or just when the market's going up, in bull markets, people make money. In bear markets, people make wealth.
Ooh.
And so I'm going to break that down. I'm going to explain that for the people. So when the market is just tracking up, which overwhelmingly, if you look at the pattern of the market, it is trending upwards. But when it's just charging up, yeah, you can make money. But when you buy into a massive drop or correction, that's where you can make dramatic wealth, depending on what your resources are at that time. Right. And so that's what happened for me, is back in 08, 09, I'm like, hey, if things are half as bad as what people are saying it is, I'm going to invest in the stock market. I'm going to get myself positioned to buy real estate, and any kind of appreciating assets, income producing assets, that I can get my hands on reasonably within what my monetary capacity is, I'm in there. And voila.
Man, that's a, like you said, that's a bar for sure, because the stock market is one of those things that when the prices are cheap, people tend to get scared and run away, which is crazy, right? It's like, it's on sale. Like, why are you running from the market? But that's kind of the natural reaction for people. But like Steven said, man, get in there when it's low, when it's on sale. And then when that thing swells up, you're going to grow with it. And I think that's key for us, Steven, with our first home. We bought during that recession period, and then we saw that growth balloon, which helped, you know, the net worth and you know, getting equity in that home. So, man, that's amazing. So yeah. Can you, as much as you feel comfortable, can you let us into the Steven Stack portfolio? What you don't have to get into numbers.
No, it's good. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So here's what I'll do. I'm going to just touch on different asset classes, things that are within the portfolio, just to kind of give my people a feel of what's going on. So I have index funds / ETFs. I got individual stock holdings. Got real estate, rental properties, land lots, commercial properties. I've got private equity positions, which it just means think being able to invest in like Facebook or Uber before they were publicly traded companies, which, bruh, when I tell you that, that's been crazy. It's been crazy. Man. Very crazy. So you know, things like that. Own portions of businesses, like I have equity stakes in businesses, and also do hard money lending, which just means function like a bank to an entity, organization, or an individual. This one has rapidly grown, but cryptocurrency as well. So I do have some exposure there, and you guys can just take a peek at what has happened with that in the past 12 months, which is crazy.
Yeah, man. Man, that's a diversity, right? That's a nice mix there. Steve, can you kind of go into some of the venture capital piece, or that can you go into that? Because I personally have been curious, how does one get into that? Is it you need to know someone? You need to kind of walk in those circles? I know that's a kind of a fraternity kind of situation, but can you break that down? How'd you get into that?
Yeah, so for that, it was just I came across somebody that we were in similar circles. I was doing my investing thing and actually met him as a friend of a friend that's fairly well known. I'll just say that without saying who he is. And he's like, hey, man, this guy, you should meet this guy, Stack. He's a solid dude. Think you guys would hit it off. We start talking, and we're just talking about, you know, life, man, like faith, family, life, just general things. And come to find out, we had all these connections. This guy's crazy connected. He's like, hey, you know, if you're interested in you know, private equity investing, you know, just see. And this is really important, something I'm going to share right here. Really important. So there's three L's that I'm always thinking about when even trying to help people walk through their own finances. Like if I'm coaching people financially, even if I don't say these L's, they are the things that are always spinning in my mind. The first is legacy, meaning how do you want to be remembered? And there's a reason why it's first, because it directs everything else.
Yeah.
So first is legacy. The second is liquidity. Meaning, hey, do you have access to funds, liquid money to be able to take advantage of opportunities, which I'm gonna get back to that private equity piece. That's the reason why I'm going, why I'm there. So, and then the third one is longevity, meaning how long will your money last? And depending on what it is you're trying to do, what kind of life do you want to lead and live? So those are the L's, the three L's that kind of govern how I think personally and how I'll talk to other people about money. But your boy definitely had that second L, liquidity, sitting real nice.
Nice, to where, ready.
Right. To where when someone brought me an opportunity, I was able to take advantage of it. And all I will say is this, my initial investment has gone up 36 times in the last 2 years.
Wow, man.
So I won't put a number on it, but I'll let y'all figure that out for yourself.
Right.
It was more than $5, I promise.
That's amazing, Steven, man. And the cool thing, first of all, those three things are amazing. Another thing that I love about you is, and you shared it in that encounter, is leveraging relationships and building relationships. Can you speak to how important that is? I mean, for our listeners, Steven reached out to me, man, just kind of on some old, you know, let's build and let's just kind of meet each other. And I love that, because a lot of brothers that look like us, you know, it sometimes feels competitive, or it feels, you know, but there was none of that with you. And I love that's something that you do. So can you speak to like how important relationship building is when it comes to building wealth?
Oh yeah. So I've got a mantra of how I try to move in life. And it's, I don't want to compete. I want to complete.
Whoa. I like that.
And how I move in life, in business, is, hey, let's build.
Yeah.
Let's build. Now, I try to make genuine connections with people because I want to see what they're about. Like, how do they move and things like that. But as long as things are good, then I'm like, hey, let's go build. But to have real relationships, community, it's immeasurably important. You know, people will say stuff like, hey, your net work is your net worth.
Right.
Or, you know, show me your friends and I can show you your future. Things like that. But there's a reason why that's the case.
Yeah.
Is if you're around people that are building, you're gonna wanna build.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of my personal friends, and I mean, I'm just gonna give it to y'all real. One of my friends, and it encouraged me so deeply. He was looking at his portfolio. And I know he wouldn't mind me mentioning his name, but I won't do it. He was looking at his portfolio, and we had met in 2016. So I'm sure he will watch this and he'll know I'm talking about him. We met in 2016. And he said, man, Stack. But he always calls me Stacks. But he's like, man, Stacks. Man, I was looking at my portfolio, and what I noticed is it has grown dramatically in the last 5 years. And what I realized is it's been because of the time that we've been friends.
Wow.
And man, I mean, I was deeply encouraged by that, of just saying, man, just being, just yeah. by me being, it encouraged a friend, someone I love, care for, been around his family, great dude. You know what I mean? Just to see another person of color building. Just because, hey, man, that's what I'm going to talk about, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're going to talk about, man. I mean, I don't care what's going on in the club.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'll let somebody else worry about that. You know what I mean? I love sports. I do. But, man, I want to know my numbers better than I know Bron's or Steph's numbers.
Right.
Bro, I'm telling you, I got bars for days, man. You don't mess around. Don't get me started. But yeah, you feel me though.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. I think that's key. Yeah. And it's like how you said, we can recite lyrics, we can recite statistics, but you know, what else are we reciting? You know? So I think that's vital, man. I like to tell people, like, even when it comes to your social media, like I have a couple Instagrams. I have an Instagram that's sports heavy. I have an Instagram that's music heavy. And then I have an Instagram that's wealth building heavy, because you want to curate your vibe, your space. You don't want to just be taking in a bunch of just trash, you know, content and hanging out and surrounding yourself by a bunch of just trash, you know? So likewise, when you're dealing with people, man, you know, you don't want to be around toxic people. You want to be around people who are doing something, because that will inspire you just as it did your friend, man. So that's amazing. So now my wife told me, she knew I was coming on with you, Steven, and she's working, so that's why she's not here. She said, you got to ask Steven about the marriage piece and how that has played a role into, you know, where you are today. How has it been navigating to, you know, your journey to wealth with your spouse, good and bad? You know what I mean? What can you say on that?
Yeah. So the first thing I'll say for people is get this unrealistic idea out of your mind of just perfect, always harmonious moments, relationships. I'm like, man, the reason why that dude knows what to say in the movie is because he's reading off a script.
Right.
You know what I mean? That ain't real life.
Yep.
Like in these streets, like you've got to have an understanding of what your expectations should be. Now, that doesn't mean lower your standards, right, but it just be anchored in some kind of reality. And for me, you'll laugh at this, but I'm being serious of, man, I don't always agree with myself within the day. So why am I always going to agree with a whole nother human being?
Right.
All the time.
Right.
And that still relates as it comes to money as well, of you're working with one another. And my biggest encouragement to people is you don't have to agree on everything. You just want to be in life's financial tug of war. You just be pulling the rope in the same direction. That's it. Like, yeah, you just want to be pulling the rope in the same direction. So one person may want to renovate the kitchen during the pandemic. And you may be like, yo, but these prices in the market.
Right.
We wait. You know what I mean? Like that. Like that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever the situation may be. And it may not be, you know, investing versus consuming. Like it could be, you know, you may have a difference of opinion on the investments or a difference of opinion on how you're going to consume of, hey, let's do this home project versus, hey, I want to have an experience. Like I'm more of an experience heavy kind of guy. I want to go travel, be at the game, which, by the way, if I'm at a sporting event, I'm going to have to be down by the floor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got to be so on par with it, right?
Right. I'm like, man, if I'm going to brave through the traffic, parking, you know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. I'm like, man, I don't need to go to 20 games a year.
Right.
Let me just go to one and have my feet on the floor. Listen right to the sneaker squeak, you know what I mean? Or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, but hopefully that helps in answering that question of pull the rope in the same direction, give each other grace, assume the best intentions from the other person until they abundantly prove you wrong. And I think you're going to be in a good spot and own your own crap. So when you do stuff, own your own stuff too. So
yeah, that was a master class right there.
Hey, we may need to do one. We may need to do one. Seriously.
Right. Man, I love it, Steven, man. So Now, this is what I really want to get into, man, because I was kind of doing a deep dive on your website, man, and it's amazing. So can you tell our listeners exactly what you're providing as a coach, man? Because I think that there's a lot of people that may want to tap in with you.
Yeah. So the general areas that I try to help people in is in debt repayment strategies / financial goals, investment education and investment strategy, of just helping people to get oriented. Because here's the reality. Your financial situation is going to be completely different, even than your next door neighbor or your sibling or your best friend. Like, it doesn't matter how close you may be to someone. Y'all can be twins and have a totally different setup, right? Because there may be nuance in people's situations. So I try to walk with people through their specific numbers and just coming from a space where I'm not just talking the talk, like I've walked the walk. You know what I mean? Like I've paid off a large amount of debt, just saying the home, and have built a reasonable amount of wealth. And at the same time, and then obviously once knocked out the house, then it's been ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that's kind of the thought process of working with people and helping folks, whether it's just on more of a one-off, hey, I just need help getting oriented, or in an ongoing capacity of, hey, I need to get oriented, but I also want someone to walk with me. Mm-hmm. Of like, for many people, it's just them knowing that I'm going to ask them about how did the past month go.
Yeah.
Can be all they need to really propel themselves forward and get those habits in place, to where I'm always trying to fire myself, to be honest with you. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get to a place where you're just like, Steven, Stack, Steve, whatever you want to call me, I got it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, or a lot of times I'll be like, hey, I think you've got it. I don't think you need me anymore. Nah, maybe let's just maybe do another month or two. I'd be like, okay. But truly, I think you're good. I think you're good. So,
man, that's great. That's great stuff. Well, Steven, man, I appreciate you, man, taking the time to sit down with me and our listeners. So before we get out of here, can you let everyone know where they can find you, how they can tap in with you, if they have any questions or if they want to get into some coaching?
Yeah. So my handle as far as Instagram is already up. It's just Stacking with Stack. And I get this question a lot. Yes, my last name actually is Stack. And I talk about money. Yes, I know. It's crazy. But yeah, so that's my Instagram handle. Same for Facebook, if people are on Facebook. My website is just Steven with a V, lstack.com. Stevenlstack.com, and you're welcome to go on there. If you fill out any stuff with a contact form, it'll shoot an email to me and I'll connect with you directly. But those are some of the ways that you can get a hold of me.
That's amazing, Steve. Appreciate it, man. And before we get out of here, I'm going to throw up or let me read through some of these comments. Sorry to everybody, I was engulfed in the conversation, but we got my man, the wealthy educator, he says, I'm here for the dialogue. Great job, brothers. Let me throw him on the screen here. Then we have Neely Enterprise says, peace. We got Virgil Jackson. Diversity is a must. Absolutely.
Facts.
We are Epic Tail, who's just showing us some love, man. So we appreciate everybody checking us out. And Steven, once again, man, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a very busy brother. But, man, this was great, man. So thank you so much.
Yeah, man, you're welcome. And truly, thanks for having me, man. I know we'll continue to keep building, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate you. All right. Well, yeah. Till next time.
Peace.